Welcome to the HIMSS Interoperability and Standards podcast series. My name is Joy Sensmeyer, and I'm the Vice President of Informatics for HIMSS. Today, our guest is Harold Solbrig. Harold is currently working with the Division of Biomedical Statistics and Informatics at the Mayo Clinic. Harold has been involved in computer science and software engineering for over 40 years and has been an active contributor in healthcare computing standards since the early 1980s. He has served as a co-chair of the Healthcare Task Force in the Object Management Group, or OMG, and has been an active contributor to many ISO, Health Level 7, OMG, and other standards bodies. Harold has also served as the editor of multiple terminology-related standards, the latest of which is the Common Terminology Services 2 specification, also called CTST, that he will describe to us during the presentation today. Harold, thank you so much for joining us today for this discussion.
Thank you, Joyce. It's an honor to be here, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about terminology standards in healthcare.
Sure. So terminology standards is something that I'm familiar with from my background in nursing informatics, but I think many in our audience might want to have a little bit more of a definition. So what do you mean when you say terminology standards?
Well, today, terminology standards are the SNOMEDs and the ICD-9s and 10s that are used to classify and code clinical records. And coding and classification is necessary, but it's of little use to the primary healthcare provider if they're simply applied at admissions or coded at post-encounter. What we need when we talk about terminology is something that permeates the clinical process, that's integrated into the EMR as part of the data entry forms, record visualization and display, and part of decision support systems. You can't just publish a set of tables and say, here, put this in your clinical record. And clinical decisions can't be based just on post-encounter classifications that are designed for reporting and statistics. And what's most important is you can't just do terminology in a single institution. Terminology needs to become the core of a global shared context in medicine. It needs to be a combination of dictionaries, lexicons, code sets, maps, ontologies, and other resources that allow clinical information to be accurately recorded and shared between communities across geographic and cultural boundary, and as well as shared between generations of researchers that follow. This context is critical if the practice of healthcare is going to continue to improve, both in terms of data that will allow researchers to make new discoveries and improve on healthcare in the future, and more fundamentally, that will allow electronic access to the information that, when combined with sophisticated decision support tools, can assist providers at the point of care.
So can you tell us a little bit more about how these terminology standards in health IT can make clinical coding and classification systems useful and readily available for those of us working in healthcare?
Are the coding and classification systems that are in place today serve a useful purpose when it comes to reporting statistics and regulation, but they work very poorly when it comes to recording primary clinical information. And today, the primary mechanism for sharing clinical information is still the printed word. The narrative is provided by the caregiver. And in many cases, information that's generated from one system is transferred as a printout and is hand-carried or emailed to a new location, where in the best of circumstances, it's re-entered into the target system or in many cases, simply added as an addendum to the patient folder. Standards like HL7 version 2 have been developed that provide a common syntax for clinical content, providing blanks where one can supply the information, such as the code for a laboratory test or a diagnosis. But as many of your audience already knows, we still have a long way to go before clinical records can be called truly interoperable, before a clinical record generated by the Mayo Clinic can be accurately interpreted at the bedside, let alone accepted and entered directly as records into, say, a Kaiser Permanente system, let alone transferred halfway around the world to the UK or Singapore. We're only beginning today to reach a consensus on what needs to go into these blanks. The combination of the HL7 version 3, FHIR, the Clinical Information Modeling Initiative, and other standards in combination with standardized terminology This has to happen before data can become truly interoperable. What our group's focusing on at the Mayo Clinic are standards that allow the use of terminology in clinical workflow, standards that allow access, update, and display of the SNOMEDs, the ICDs, the LOINCs, RX norms, and other day-to-day terminology resources that are used in the clinical practice.
So in terms of access to the HL7 standards, such as V2, V3, and FHIR, as well as SNOMED CT, who has access to them and what would be the costs of that?
Well, within the United States, SNOMED CT is now free for anyone to use. And it's my understanding that the HL7 standards have recently been made free for worldwide use.
Well, that's excellent. Certainly, as our goal is adoption, it's wonderful to have those resources available to our healthcare industry. So what would you say are the next steps to use standardized terminology in health IT?
SNOMED CT, LOINC, RxNorm, and the ICDs are reasonably complex resources, and they evolve regularly both in terms of what they contain and in terms of their structure. And today, they're distributed as electronic tables or sometimes even just as printed books. And today, they're accompanied by large volumes of documentation on what they mean and how to use them. And it's a costly and time-consuming task for somebody to load these resources into local data tables, to write software that can interpret, query, display, and maintain the content over time. And the problem is the only organizations that can even begin to absorb this type of cost are software vendors and large institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. The problem with this, however, is that with custom institutions, the quality and usability of these implementations can and does vary. And unfortunately, that's reflected directly in the quality of the resultant data. So what we need today is a way that specialists can focus on delivering the terminology to the software vendors and institutions in a consistent, high quality, and most importantly, verifiable fashion. The vendors and institutions need to be able to just write applications that will access generic terminology content, be it SNOMED, LOINC, country codes, or coding systems local to the institution. This is what the doctors Christopher Shute, Stan Huff, Ed Hadman, Alan Rector, and many others have been focused on for the past 20-plus years, providing a shared, well-defined, validated terminology, and that's the SNOMED CTs and the LOINCs and the emerging ICD-11, but in combination with tools that allow it to be used in a consistent and reproducible way. And the Common Terminology Services to CTS2 standard is designed to address that second aspect, the consistent representation and use of any terminology.
Yeah, I'd like to explore that with you a little bit more. And before I do, just want to clarify for our audience, when you talk about the specialists that we need for this, are you referring to terminology specialists, informaticists? Who would be the target group to help us with that?
Terminology specialist, informaticist, and computer scientists, software engineers that can produce widgets and tools that represent, reason, and present terminology in a consistent fashion, whether it's used at the Mayo Clinic or Kaiser or in a government agency.
Excellent. Thank you for clarifying that. So back to Common Terminology Services 2, or CTS2. Is it one way to provide a common delivery system for standardized terminology in health IT? And if so, how would that be used?
CTS2 was designed particularly to address that target. The standard itself is based on a formal Unified Modeling Language, or UML, model. But the core of the specification is a set of XML schemas that provide a consistent and a shared model of terminology content, along with a set of rules for constructing URLs that can be used to read, query, and update using those schemas via the HTTP protocol. These XML schemas can be viewed as the HTML of the terminology world. You know, much as HTML describes a shared way of creating headings, building tables, formatting text, embedding images on the web, CTS2 describes a common way of representing code definitions, describing relationships between concepts or returning lists of possible values. The URL rules in the specification allow these representations to be accessed in the same way that any HTML web page is accessed today. It also includes rules for accessing terminology via web services, known as SOAP, and mechanisms for using popular programming languages. But in the end, the CTS2 standard is designed as a blueprint for terminology. Using CTS2, client software can be written once and then reused with different servers, different content, and different terminology software vendors. Similarly, terminology providers can publish content directly in a format that can be referenced and uploaded without the need of specialized tables and detailed documents.
Well, that sounds like excellent progress in helping us to move this forward. So my last set of questions is related to your work with the specifications groups for Health Level 7 and the Object Management Group, OMG. So what would you say is the biggest challenge these groups are currently facing in standardizing terminology in health IT?
Well, the biggest challenge, without a doubt, is uptake. Nobody wants to commit to investing in a standard until they're sure it's a go. And the first thing a standard has to be a go is to be adequate to do the job. But even when it is, nobody's willing to take the next step until they have some assurance that other vendors, healthcare providers, government organizations, and other standard bodies are going to go with it as well. We had to walk a fine line in the CTS2 specification. On one side, if it didn't do enough, it wouldn't add enough value to be worth the investment. On the other hand, if we'd produce a rich and detailed specification, it was possible it would become so large and complex that nobody would be willing to implement it. We attempted to walk the middle ground by delivering not just a single specification, but a set of many specifications, where clients and service developers only need to implement the aspects that they care about. The fact that CTS2 services can be federated, much like web pages can be linked together on the World Wide Web, it means that no one provider needs to do everything. One organization could provide basic weed and query services for SNOMED CT. A second might provide mapping services, and a third might act as a Google-like directory of terminologies. And while the CTS2 specification is far from perfect, we believe it's good enough to use today, and it's easy to get running quickly. We're still working to try to make the community aware of it and convince them to give it a try. Even if it isn't an ideal solution, it gets us a long way down the road, and it's designed to be extended and to be built on. And a related challenge, of course, is funding. We don't have a huge budget right now to document, promote, create production quality applications based on CTS2. What we're hoping is that as adoption and recognition grows, we're going to be able to take advantage of a growing community of open source software developers to help flesh out and mature the standard.
Well, I think that's commendable that you are working together across SDO, Standards Development Organizations, with HL7, specifically in OMG, to get this work moving forward. I think often our industry gets criticized for not advancing interoperability in a timely way, but you and I both know it's a very complicated process, and you've described some of the reasons today for that, but I want to applaud you for your effort to really move the bar forward specifically on the standard CTS2. So to that end, how can our listeners learn more about CTS2 and maybe get involved in these standardized terminology specification projects?
Well, if they'd like, people can email me directly at solbrig.herald@mayo.edu. We've got a CTS2 website at http://informatics.mayo.edu/CTS2 that's acting as a jump-off point for various implementations, standards, and other resources. I'd also encourage people to participate in HL7, Object Management Group, the International Healthcare Terminology and Standards Development Organization, which we affectionately call ITSEDU, and the Clinical Information Modeling Initiative, CIMI, and other organizations that are working on terminology adoption and standardization.
I think it will also be helpful that we will have some resources on the HIMSS website, which I'll talk about in a minute, and perhaps at the interoperability showcase that we do at HIMSS 14, we could have some information about this as well. Well, Harold, thank you so much for joining us today. In summary, it seems that while using standard terminology should be simple and logical, there are many complexities, and the process is being made more simple as a result of the development of the CTS2 and your good work. And we hope that the health IT community will adopt it and we can move more quickly towards our goal of interoperability.
Thank you, Joyce, for your kind words, and it's been a pleasure. I hope this information will be useful to your listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. This concludes our podcast, and to learn more about interoperability and standards activities at HIMSS, please go to our website at www.hims.org. Click on Browse by Topic under the HIMSS Resource Library, and that will give you access to the Interoperability and Standards page as well as this podcast. Thank you for joining us today.